There you go.
Hello and welcome to Beckett and the Boys, brought to you by Ouachita Baptist University. I'm Becca Davis, and today I have with me Carl Alloway, Marcellus Hill, and JV Vinson. Our first topic is MVP candidates for the NBA. Boys, give me some of your thoughts, please.
Man, I'm going to go ahead and just go out on a limb here and say definitely Russell Westbrook. Definitely Russell Westbrook. You want me to tell you why?
Please do. Please do.
Because that man is determined. Mm-hmm. Do you know how to push a man to his limits?
Call Russell Westbrook.
No. How you push a man to a limit? You take away one of the most vital pieces to his army.
And Kevin Durant,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That was his most vital piece besides himself. Was Kevin Durant. Took him away. So now he has no choice but to play to the peak of his potential. He has no choice but to play as best as he can 24/7. He has to be on the top of his game.
You're right.
Because he has
to put
his city on his back and win a championship.
He's not going to win a championship in OKC. I can go ahead and tell you that right now.
I'm not saying he's going to win it because I'm not even a Westbrook fan. I am definitely a LeBron's fan all the way, but I think that he is going to work his butt off hard enough to where they could even make it to the semis.
Okay.
Definitely make it to the semis.
But you think he's going to be the regular season MVP?
Yes.
That's what you're going out on limb
saying? Taking that team to the semis by himself is MVP worthy, I feel like.
Well, you do.
It's possible. It's just my main reason that I don't want to just up and say Westbrook is because he has to play up top all the time, but that's probably going to run him into the ground. Because if he's given everything he's got, then more than likely he's bound to get an injury sometime or another. And if he got to take time to recover from that, that's going to take time away from his MVP.
But hold on. Are y'all forgetting about the guy named James Harden, who just got moved to point guard this year and is putting up basically a double-double every single game? Really?
Yeah.
He's putting up 30 points a game and averaging over 13 assists this season.
Yeah.
James Harden is definitely a candidate for the NBA MVP this year.
I didn't say he wasn't. I actually said before we even started this whole podcast thing, I believe that Westbrook or Harding are definitely shoe-ins for the MVP.
Yeah, I think James Harden is going to win it this year.
Can't forget about Damian Lillard.
And I was just about to say Damian Lillard as well. Damian Lillard is playing lights out right now. He destroyed my Mavericks the other night shooting from Steph Curry range. Like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. That just hurt my heart to watch that. But, I mean, you can't count out Steph Curry, though. He can definitely three-peat, for sure.
With that KD move that just happened, it's the same thing that happened with LeBron in 2011.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose got the MVP. Nobody on that team is getting MVP.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't think. Same way that I think that nobody on the Cavs is getting MVP. Kyrie could make the case if out of anybody, but they have so much talent on the team that they spread the ball so much that he's not really going to get in the running. So it's between James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Damian Lillard.
I definitely agree with all those.
So y'all feel like the point guard is definitely taking over the game of basketball as of right now.
If anybody else, Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns is really, really, really good,
I think.
But the Timberwolves aren't going to make the playoffs, thus he's not going to get the most valuable player. I do think he'll be a first-team All-NBA player, though, for sure.
Definitely. But I just think the point guard position has been taken to a whole nother level because they're not just passing now. Now they're actually taking the right.
They got to be able to do everything. And that's why Chris Paul will never be – like, he's a true definition of a point guard. But that's why people get upset with Chris Paul because he doesn't shoot the ball as much as people would like him to.
Yeah. Rondo used to have that same thing, you know, when he was just passing the ball. But he had great handles as well, though. Don't get me wrong. Chris Paul will cross somebody over too, though. But he ain't got it like Kyrie.
Kyrie definitely has the best handles in the league.
I'm telling y'all,
mark my words, on November, what's today, the 9th? On November 9th, James Harden, tonight I said this, James Harden will win the MVP. I'm telling you.
I honestly want to agree with you. I love James Harden, and I could see that. But guess what he also is? He's an old Oklahoma City player, so I'm cool with that. You know, I like OKC. He's an old Oklahoma
City player. Bro,
I know you a Texas boy, bro, but.
No, OKC. Look.
Imagine if they would have kept him and KD on that team.
We was talking about this the other day. There's no way Westbrook can play at that level for 82 games. He literally plays at a high intensity. That's his game. If he can't play like that, he ain't effective. He's not.
I agree, because he is the most athletic player in the NBA. In the NBA. And he's been working his whole life for this. He is built for this, bro. I know it's tough for him to go 80-something games, bro.
This is what he going to have to do. He can't have another game like he did against a big team, like he did against the Warriors. He choked it up.
He choked.
KD came back.
KD choked it up too that game 7, though.
I'm not talking about in the NBA or in the playoffs. I'm talking about this season when he played the Warriors.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook turned the ball over 9 times. KD had almost 40 points.
They came in with a team initiative to shut
exactly.
Him. That's all they had. But guess what? He also did. He made big plays when he needed to.
He packed that man stuff though. KD didn't pack him back. He didn't do enough for my liking. If he gonna win MVP, he gonna have to take over a basketball game and keep them in games like that against teams like the Warriors.
He will, but there's no other team in the NBA like the Warriors, is what you fail to realize. And if that is the one team that stops,
So you think the Warriors is gonna win it this year?
I don't think they're gonna win it, but by far they have the most talent in the NBA.
I have to disagree.
Who has more talent than them?
I have to disagree. There's a lot of people. You got the LA Clippers who are balling right now. San Antonio Spurs who destroyed them in the very first game of the year. I'm talking about talent wise.
A team can get destroyed in the regular season. I understand.
What is different about this year's team, with the exception of KD, that was different than from last year?
Everybody had a more talented team last year than they do this year,
in my opinion. They had way more depth last year than what they do this year.
Okay, it's only the starting five. Let's wrap up our final thoughts on this.
James Harden winning MVP, not Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook.
All right.
I'm going Westbrook.
I can't leave him out.
Okay, let's shift your thoughts to the NFL. The Cowboys have been on a roll with Dak Prescott, but Tony Romo is back. So what do y'all think about that?
As a Cowboy fan, I have to say Jerry Jones will really make me angry if he changes anything that is going on right now. There's no need to. Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are running the show for the Cowboys, and there is no need for him to change that. No need. I don't care what Tony Romo has done in the past. I don't care about that. This is about now. And Dak Prescott is probably one of the best rookie, if not the best rookie quarterback in the league right now. He's doing his thing. The Cowboys are 7-1. Cowboys haven't been 7-1 in how long? I don't know how long.
2011.
Since 2011. And I just, there's no reason for Jerry Jones to mess this up. If he does, he will be getting a phone call from me, because I'm just going to lose my mind if he does.
Tony's his golden boy. That's the only reason that he would even bring him back in. But other than that, Dak Prescott is making a wonderful campaign for himself. Other than that, I mean, Tony Romo coming back in is only a Jerry Jones decision. Nobody else would bring him in.
There's no reason for him to.
Being the guy in here that's not the Cowboys fan, I would go on a limb to say that it really doesn't matter who is behind that offensive line. They will dominate because they have the best running back in the NFL at this moment because of that O-line, of course. Not saying Ezekiel Elliott is not a dog. He is a great player. But whoever they put, I think the only thing that makes Dak Prescott better than Tony Romo is the fact that he does not turn over the ball.
Doesn't turn the ball over, skilled, and he still completes passes.
Skilled as a player? No. Tony Romo is better passer, better everything than him.
Hold on. If you look
at the stats, Tony Romo was a way better quarterback.
Okay, but it's not all about stats, though.
But it's his rookie campaign, and his stats.
If you look at Dak Prescott's stats, his stats are still good. Think about this. Tony Romo can't do nothing better than Dak Prescott right now. He can avoid pressure better than Tony Romo. He completes more of his passes than Tony Romo. Even honestly, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we don't even need Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant ain't really making that big of a difference either. I'm sorry. There's no need for Tony Romo to come back and mess up what the Cowboys have going.
I totally agree with going with the hot hand. Y'all want to talk about the future of the Cowboys, definitely Dak Prescott, because Tony Romo is getting old. That's the reason why Tony Romo is not at the peak of his game.
Tony Romo is fragile, and he needs to go somewhere else.
He does not need to stay in Dallas.
There's no need.
But if he comes back in and they start him over Dak Prescott, will I be upset? No, because he is the better quarterback. But do I think Dak is the hot hand and they need to keep him in? Definitely. But if they replace him with Romo, then I wouldn't.
I guarantee you, if Tony Romo plays and starts this weekend against the Steelers, the Cowboys are going to lose. Yeah. He's going to mess up the flow of the offense. He's going to mess up everything that the offense has going.
It's the same situation that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had. Just keep the young guy in because he's doing good.
And look what Aaron Rodgers is doing now, one of the best quarterbacks in the world. He ain't really doing too good this year, but you get what I'm saying.
I'm not arguing it. My favorite quarterback in the NFL is Tom Brady, and he went through the same scenario. Now he's the GOAT. So, I mean, I just feel like
the GOAT. I totally agree. You. I mean, you're right.
A lot of Super Bowls. I mean, that can attest to his skill.
Look, Jerry Jones, do not play Tony Romo. Do not play Tony Romo. There's no need. No need at all. Please, I am begging you. Please. Cowboys are 7-1, has one of the best records in the NFL. There is no need for you to mess that up. Please. I'm begging you.
The only team with the record that's close to theirs is Tom Brady's, the Patriots.
I'm telling you, and if the Patriots and the Cowboys were to meet in the Super Bowl, I know that's a long stretch. But if that were to happen, you know the Cowboys are going to win.
They would get out-coached instantly. Don't even get started on Bill Belichick's experience in Super Bowl
games. What does it mean?
It means he's a coach.
If Bill Belichick was such a good coach, how come he got out-coached by Tom Coughlin and threw away an undefeated season?
What do you mean? He still has three other Super Bowls.
You're right. Do you think
one game defies a whole
I didn't say that. But, okay.
Do people not lose any given day?
You're right. You just proved my point right there. It's the Cowboys' year. I'm telling you.
No, but you just said he just got out coached. You said that Bill Belichick got out coached.
He did. That is not a true statement. He didn't get out coached. He got out lucked.
Do you remember that
Super Bowl? I remember. The only thing lucky about that game was David Tyree catching it off the top of his head.
That boy scrambling out the pocket on the fourth down. He missed like eight tackles. He broke eight tackles.
That's a stretch.
Go look at the film. Go look at it, man. The luckiest play in all of football. Anybody will attest to that. It even has its own name.
We're going to move on to some local sports now, if that's okay. The Battle of the Ravine is one of the longest-standing rivalries. Saturday at 1 o'clock, Wichita Tigers will take on the Henderson Reddies at the Henderson Stadium. What do y'all think the outcome will be?
Last time OBU played Henderson in the Henderson Stadium, it was a blowout. So, I mean, according to tradition, hopefully it goes the same way, because the last time we played here, we got blown out. So it was only good to return the favor.
I mean,
we actually didn't get blown out. They actually just won by a field goal.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I thought that was 2 years.
No. Last year they just won by a field goal.
Okay, I'm getting my ears mixed up.
But
I'm
gonna go out on a limb and say this. This year has kind of been like strange for OBU football. I've never seen so many injuries accumulated in one season. That's been a problem all year long. You got Thomas, who literally was going to be a redshirt, and then all of a sudden he's called up in the past three games to have to start. And he's playing good, by the way. I think he's going to be the difference maker. He's going to be the X factor without KO. But I just.
KO's actually back this week.
I heard he was out for the rest of the year because he broke his foot.
He's playing this week.
Is he?
Yeah, he's okay.
Back. Well, he's back. But see, the thing is, Wichita doesn't necessarily need KO. KO is a great player, but Chauncey is carrying the workload.
Exactly.
Two games in a row, he's had over 200 yards rushing, and he could have had 250 the last game.
Exactly. I think the X factor is going to be, I mean, you know, we ain't got Austin Warford this season. He's out for the rest of the year, and he's a key loss. But I think it's going to be the running backs, and it's going to be the secondary, and how they're going to be able to cope, because you know, the secondary was the reason that they lost to Arkansas Tech, because half the secondary was hurt. Shaq was hurt, Devin Price was hurt, and those are two of your best DBs on the team. So it's going to be a matter of if they can hold up or not, in my opinion. If they can hold up and the running backs can hold up, I think they'll come out with a victory.
I feel like the loss to Tech was honestly just the whole team in general, just playing soft, coming out there nonchalant. You know, we didn't really take on the game properly like we should have, because whenever you get blown out like that, you can't just blame the DBs. And I know I'm not saying
I'm not saying that at all. Yeah, I'm just saying that was a key component
that went wrong. But this Henderson OBU game, it definitely will be interesting. I definitely agree with you. The running game is going to be a vital point in the DBs, because that's Henderson's specialty. They're going to come out here and try to expose our DBs like they
exactly.
do with these D1 receivers they have that can't transfer from UCA.
It'd be really nice if we could try to tear down their goalposts again this year like we did in 2014 when we blew them out. That'd be really, really great.
That'll definitely be something that will happen. I mean, just speaking positively, I feel like if Wichita does what's right, we listen to our coaches, take coaching very well, we could definitely get the W.
Because it seems like they've had opposite seasons. Henderson started off high then got shaky, and then OBU started it the other way around. So, I mean, this is going to be a good game either way it goes. It's always been a good game. Our rivalry is across the street from each other.
Yep. Yeah, we all know we don't like each other, and whenever we put on helmets and we lace up against each other, it's gonna be a good game. Whether one of us 1-9 or one of us 10-0.
Yeah, like, somebody's car probably outside getting vandalized right now as we speak.
As we speak, let's pray to God that don't happen again. Right. If it's my car, I'm out there fighting. I'm ready.
Let's go.
Pop in the trunk.
Well, there you have it. Come join us again for the next episode of Becca and the Boys. Thanks for tuning in.
Deuces.
Deuces.